Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of Sean Mo Hoops podcast. Finally back in gear. And this time we have Stephen Kalail, who last came on after the wonderful Kentucky Duke game back to start the season. Stephen, how are you doing in 2019?
Pretty good, Sean. Just happy to be back on the podcast and to talk a little college hoops with you.
Sounds good. Well, they were a topic of our, a main topic of discussion last time, and that was Duke. And unfortunately, there'll be a topic to kick off the podcast again after they defeated Virginia this past weekend and what everybody assumed was the game of the week. And I'd say it definitely lived up to its billing. Pretty competitive 72-70 game with Virginia covering on a last second shot. But what were your thoughts on that game overall? And how do you think Duke and UVA are looking so far?
Thoughts overall are that I thought it was a very impressive win for Duke, obviously without having Trey Jones, who's their floor general. But I thought you know, Duke came out with a good plan of just basically letting RJ Barrett be the main ball handler and letting him and Zion essentially just take it to the rim at will, because I believe they end up getting close to 31 free throws between the two of them.
Yeah, I think what is it? Zion went 7 of 14 and RJ went 7 of 11. Yeah, they definitely both got to the line. You know, looking at Duke, didn't have Jones, and I thought that was going to be probably the reason they lost at Cameron, but for the most part, they led really throughout the game. And despite, you know, it wasn't the best shooting game from either team, Duke went 2 of 14 from the three-point line, even though much has been written and talked about really how this is one of the worst three-point shooting Duke teams that Coach K has ever had. But to everyone's surprise, Virginia was 3 of 17, and they're known as a good shooting team with Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome and Clark as well. So shooting was definitely not at a premium, but both teams, Duke was 20, you know, shot 65% inside the line and UVA shot 70%. What were your thoughts on really both Zion and RJ as they were kind of breaking down UVA's top rated defense and getting to the rim pretty much at will?
Yeah, I thought both guys just pretty much exuded what we've all thought and what everyone's predicted about them, is that they're literally the two best players in the country right now, in my opinion. And they just, you know, there's no defense, even UVA's pack line defense, that can hold two guys that are just that talented. I think if anything, it's unbelievably impressive that those guys were able to break down a UVA team that is generally so sound, and they did it without a traditional point guard. With Trey Jones. So I think it's a very impressive feat. I think overall that those two guys getting those kind of minutes, not just those minutes, but that experience is going to help in tournament play, especially when a guy like a Trey Jones or maybe a Cam Reddish or someone else gets in the foul trouble. I think that all this stuff is just helping Duke mold them into a more formidable team come tourney time. And, one other thing I want to add too, is that I think this helps UVA a lot too. I mean, it's, you know, you lose a game against Duke, it's not that big of a deal, but I mean, they play Duke again in Charlottesville later in the season. So this is all going to benefit both teams. I think, UVA specifically is gonna learn a lot. They may need to expand their bench a little bit more. I think they only played 8 players, so they might want to get another guy in there to help out with playing D on such high caliber guys that Duke has.
Yeah, I think, you know, both teams didn't really use the bench. Duke only went 7 deep and just played Alex O'Connell and Javon Delorier 5 and 7 minutes. Jack White played 40 minutes, but really they're playing 2.5 on 5 the whole game with RJ and Zion scoring 57 of the 72. Cam Reddish, I was hoping for a little more out of him. Really just 3 of 12, despite his kind of outside shooting ability. And then UVA, as you mentioned, went eight deep, and big fan of Braxton Key. I think his experience and size will definitely pay off as the ACC season progresses, as well as the NCAA tournament. Diakite, I thought he got a little overzealous at the beginning of the second half. I think he took a few shots in a row that probably weren't the smartest Tony Bennett type shots. But then you had a guy like Jay Huff who came in and only played 7 minutes, but was pretty effective in those 7 minutes, including one of the top dunks of the year that I've seen, where he jumped outside the lane and used his whatever the wingspan was to hammer it down.
That was absurd.
And so, you know, he's going to be a guy that'll be around for a while. You know, one thing about, as you mentioned, Duke getting to the line, I think UVA, such a great team defense, but usually for the most part, not a lot of great individual defenders. I think DeAndre Hunter would qualify as, you know, a guy that could defend on the NBA level, but, you know, Kyle Dugay and Ty Jerome and Jack Salt, not really guys that are can stay in front of their man one-on-one. And that's what Duke did, was try to get everybody in really NBA Houston Rocket ISO type situations. And that's an area where UVA struggles when they actually do have to go just one-on-one and can't rely fully on the help side defense. But overall, it was a very competitive game. You know, both teams have bounced back, and Virginia's smacking around Wake Forest as we speak, holding them to 23 points at the half, and Duke is up 19 at Pittsburgh. So not a real bad hangover for either team, and definitely, right, you know, the two teams that'll be competing for the ACC regular season title. But we'll see how long it lasts. But one team I definitely wanted to get your opinion on was Louisville, who I know you are very familiar with, but I think to everybody's surprise is, you know, really started out pretty hot in ACC play. I don't think, you know, a lot was expected of them at this point, rated number 16 in KenPom and rated in the top 25 this year, but 4-1 in the ACC and really won three games in a row with NC State and Pittsburgh coming up at home this week. So talk to me a little bit about Louisville and how they're doing this and who's playing well, and definitely want to learn a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. I think as a Louisville fan, we're just, for the fan base, are just overly excited with what Chris Mack's doing there. Everyone kind of was expecting a really down year from the Cards, especially with all the turmoil that's happened in the past. But really, the grad transfers that Louisville picked up, I think, really, really can help put them to the next level. Christian Cunningham, who is a guy from Sanford, who came over and he's taken the reins at the starting point guard position. He really has brought Louisville. He's really become one of the best, frankly, best point guards in the ACC. I think in his last game, he had 11 assists. And he's been great. Akoya Gal, who was actually a former Louisville player under the Patino years, kind of probably.
How many schools has he been at?
He's been at SMU and Georgetown, then came back to Louisville. He's been supposedly a great locker room guy. And then also, Kwon Four, the transfer from Richmond, has been an excellent, excellent, excellent pickup for Louisville as well, because he was a menace at Richmond, and he came over to Louisville and has played his role as a defensive specialist and helped with implementing the type of pack line defense that Chris Mack likes to run. But I think the two other developments with Louisville also involve another one is really with Jordan Nwora. Nwora's probably made the biggest, I can say, leap from freshman to sophomore year in the past. I mean, he's made such a leap that I think Louisville fans have seen from other players, such as like Terry Rozier or a Donovan Mitchell, but Jordan Nwora is kind of following that suit. I think he's averaging close to 19 points a game. He's improved his body. It's been noticeable from ACC opponents and from analysts, and wouldn't be surprised if he ends up playing himself into some NBA draft boards. I mean, he's got a knockdown jumper. He's 6'8", so he's playing to his size, and his defense is coming along. And then also the play of Stephen Enoch and Dwayne Sutton have helped Louisville significantly. Enoch's the transfer from UConn. It took him a little bit of time to get adjusted, I believe, into ACC play, but he kind of had a breakout performance against Pitt in Louisville's ACC loss, and against the surprising win against UNC. Enoch was really holding down in the middle, and Cunningham was able to set him up properly. I think Louisville is just ecstatic that the team is playing so hard, and there's just a real positive light on the program overall with some of the recruiting efforts that Chris Max put together as well. So I think Louisville fans should be more than excited about the prospects of the Cards in the future, not just this year, but in times coming up.
Well, when Cunningham transferred after playing at Samford, transferred into Louisville, it was a name I hadn't heard in a while, even though he was a guy I followed a lot on the prep circuit. But who did he play with? Who were some of the players he played with back in the AAU days?
Yeah, he played for the Louisville Magic team, which was in those days was a very stacked team. They had former Louisville starting point guard Quentin Snyder, who had a strong career at Louisville, and also D'Angelo Russell, who ended up being a one and done for Ohio State and currently, you know, point guard for the Brooklyn Nets. So they had a very, very good team. And they were also coached by former Louisville player Ellis Miles.
Yeah, Cunningham and that team was probably back in the day one of the teams I watched the most, and they were a lot of fun to watch. They pretty much pick you up right when the ball went in bounds, and they were running and gunning. Cunningham was kind of off the bench, but very talented guard, just stuck behind Russell and Snyder, as you mentioned. So definitely a fun team. And, you know, it was when he committed to Louisville, it was somebody I had to do a double take on, because once again, it was a name I hadn't really heard in a few years. But you mentioned Dwayne Sutton, and he was on Louisville last year after previously transferring from UNC Asheville. But he was a guy that really stood out in the UNC game, in the big, actually Roy's worst loss at UNC. What has been the big jump for him, or what's been the biggest difference he's been making this season compared to last?
He's one of those guys who I think he's the perfect glue guy type player, but he's a guy that just he's intelligent on the court. He sees the game well. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time. He's just one of those guys, and he's, you know, he had that shtick to him last year, but this year he's taken another level by refining his shot. He's shooting at a much higher clip from three-point land. He's just taken on the leadership role overall. It's interesting because at the three spot, Louisville's fairly loaded because they've got Jordan Nwora and Sutton who get their minutes, and then you've got, unfortunately, a guy like VJ King, who's an excellent player in his own right, and former McDonald's All-American, but he's getting overshadowed by both of those guys. But you know, in the end here, you got to win games, and Nwora and Sutton give him their best chance.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you about VJ King. Given, is he the only McDonald's All-American on Louisville's roster?
The only one, and he's. It's a tough situation for him because he came to Louisville under the Patino year, under the Patino recruitment. So he had a year under Patino, and then once Rick got fired, he had a year under Padgett. So now he's in his junior year, and he's got Chris Mack. So three different coaches in 3 years is really, really unfortunate for the guy. So from Cardinal fans, he's getting kind of the comparison to Wayne Blackshear as a guy who had tons of hype and didn't necessarily live up to that hype, but you know, the jury's still out on VJ, whether he can kind of turn it around. I mean, if you make the comparison to Blackshear was, you know, a starter on a national title team and ended up having some pretty monster games towards the end of his Louisville career. So I'm hoping VJ can at least maybe go that route, but you know, tough situation for him.
Yeah, he was a guy that I completely forgotten about until you had mentioned him a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's going on with him? And then you look, and I think he scored 16 points over his last nine games. But in the win against Georgia Tech this week, had, you know, minimal, you know, only played 12 minutes, but had 4 points and six boards and a block. So maybe, you know, he's starting to get it going. But, yeah, I mean, if he was a threat coming off the bench, that would just kind of enhance Louisville in general. And you mentioned Jordan Nwora at the beginning, and he's playing like an all ACC type player, shooting, I think, 45% from the 3-point line in conference play. And even from 14 of 16 the past two games. So he's been shooting the lights out, besides the one loss they had to Pitt where he was 2 of 14. But he was a guy at the beginning of the year that kind of stood out more from a efficiency standpoint, just because he didn't play that much last year. But when he did, he had the ball in his hands a lot, and he had kind of a high usage rate, but also a high efficiency rate. So he was definitely a guy that I was monitoring for kind of a breakout sophomore season, and he's definitely delivered on that so far. So yeah, Louisville, they're ranked, and I'm sure the fan base must be pretty happy, especially after that earlier loss to end the year with Kentucky, and now kind of have two home games with North Carolina State and Pitt, and really three games before they go have North Carolina at home and then go on the road for Virginia Tech and Florida State. So definitely a few weeks to get some wins before another tough part of ACC play comes up.
Right, yeah. Louisville fans, just they should be happy. We've got a tough stretch coming up, but already notching wins against Michigan State and UNC this year. I don't think anyone would have predicted that starting the season. So very, very happy for U of L. Happy that they're going to be able to they're building some momentum. And you know, beginning of the year, I thought they were squarely a bubble team. And they still might be, but I think right now they're clearly in the tournament.
So two ACC teams that are coming up on the schedule, North Carolina, Virginia Tech played on Monday night. UNC was a 4.5 point favorite at home and ended up shooting the lights out after a sluggish first eight, nine minutes, winning 103-82. Unfortunately, did not take that over of 153, which I was looking at, and would have been an easy winner. But what are your thoughts on Virginia Tech? I know they've been ranked in the top 10, but had a really embarrassing loss at UVA, and now the same thing at North Carolina. You know, they have a lot of junior senior talent, along with Nikhil Alexander Walker, who's a sophomore. But what are your thoughts on them in the ACC? And are you kind of a believer in Virginia Tech at all?
I'm a little bullish on them. You know, I like that they're a veteran team. I'm a believer in Buzz Williams since the Marquette days. I think he's a guy that gets it done. However, you know, I don't really see any marquee wins for them this year so far. They haven't really proven a ton to me yet. So I still think the jury's out. And then when the times that they've had to really prove it, they've obviously failed. So I'm still a little inconclusive on Virginia Tech at this moment. But you know, it's the ACC. So they're going to have a lot of opportunities to prove themselves coming forward. I mean, they're going to have to play, you know, Cuse, who obviously had a big win at Duke, NC State, amongst others. So they're coming up soon. So I think we'll find out pretty quickly if they're really a pretender, but I'm not sold on Virginia Tech just yet. And it's pretty evident in their game against UNC that they've got a little bit of work to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think their shooting prowess definitely helps them going forward. I know they're in foul trouble against UNC, especially Justin Robinson. And while they started out hot, definitely cooled off and didn't do much the last 12 minutes of the first half. And I would probably have them in that kind of tier three of the ACC, where it's teams that are talented and will probably make the tournament, but ones that you don't really expect to do a whole lot once they get there. But the other team, UNC, so you got to watch Louisville just absolutely destroy them in the Dean Dome. And they kind of bounced back with a sluggish win over Notre Dame and then kind of another sluggish win over Miami until they got hot at the end. And then really after the first 8 minutes against Virginia Tech, kind of got their groove. What are your thoughts on UNC right now?
Well, it seems like they're beginning to get a little bit of their groove with these last few games after the Louisville game. I think that they took that Louisville game probably pretty personally after getting drubbed by 20. So it's been nice to see some of the freshmen from UNC being able to step up. I know there's been some chatter this whole season about how Roy's been using Nasir Little, and it looks like he's being used a little bit better. He's coming alive a bit more. He was attacking the inside against VTech, had 23 points against them. And, I think he's a key, for their interior, since obviously Luke May is kind of holding it down in there. But I think that Little can help with penetrating and with scoring inside. So I'm hoping that with Nasir's emergence, I think that maybe UNC can be a little bit of a different team than where I thought they were starting to trend with kind of bottoming out a little bit against Louisville.
Yeah, I think still trying to figure out lineups. And to switch to another freshman real quick, Kobe White had a fantastic game against Virginia Tech, and he's definitely one of the funner Tar Heels I've had the pleasure of watching recently. Just really enjoy watching him play and push the pace for what is actually Roy Williams's fastest tempo team, despite sometimes their inability to get fast break points. But in terms of Nasir Little, and kind of talked about this a little bit last week, I think a lot of it was he was just subject to the hype, the preseason hype of here's this guy that won the McDonald's and Jordan Brand MVP, and he's going to be a top three pick and, finally be the one and done that Carolina has been looking for. And I think it was just, in my mind, not a good evaluation by the people that were saying that. And I think now he's finally starting to figure out his role and kind of realize he's more of a, kind of an energy guy rather than a guy you give the ball to and go one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I think earlier in the year, you'd see him get the ball on the perimeter and the offense would kind of stop as he would try to kind of size up his defender and go one-on-one. And it usually didn't result in a lot of success, but really the last few games, I mean, he's had, after the Louisville game, had 11 points, 12 points, and then 23 points. And one thing you noticed yesterday was when he caught the ball, he's getting the basket in one or two dribbles. He's not really wasting any dribbles. So he's being a lot more direct. And I think that's what he needs to be. And I think he's figuring that out, and that can open up his 3-point shot. So I think the pressure is starting to subside on him, and it'll be interesting to watch him going forward, as well as if Roy will play the all freshman lineup, which did so well against Virginia Tech with Kobe, Nasir, and then Leaky Black as well. So,
I also think that playing these freshmen, needs to happen a little bit more, and not just for the sake of, not for the sake of just winning games, period, but also for, I think it's something for recruiting as well. Obviously, UNC is always going to be in the mix for a lot of high level recruits. And if a lot of recruits do not see some of their, fellow brethren of five stars getting enough PT, it's going to hurt them a bit. But, Roy kind of reminds me of how Pitino was at Louisville with when it came to certain recruits and was really making them earn it. So, I don't wish that curse on UNC. So I hope that Little and Kobe and all the other guys are going to be able to get that proper run for Roy, so they can actually reel in a few recruits, such as a Cole Anthony or someone like that.
Yeah, well, we'll see with Cole. They have Armando Bacot coming in, and they really missed on a lot of the other players they were recruiting, especially since this time they actually had a legit chance at a lot of them, such as Josh Green and Jeremiah Robinson Earl. So we'll see about Cole Anthony coming up. Although, with Kobe White playing so well, a lot of the mock drafts have him at the very late part of the first round. And in terms of production, he's definitely playing like it. I think he'll definitely get dinged for, the intangibles that people love to talk about, wingspan and and vertical whatnot. But if he leaves and they don't get Cole Anthony, it'll be a rough 2019-20 season. But that'll be definitely can be discussed at another point. But kind of switching gears. So with the ACC, there's no undefeated teams left in that conference, but there's still a few teams in the other major Power Five conferences that are still undefeated. So I'm kind of curious. We'll kind of leave Washington out because the Pac-12 is not the most competitive at this point. But right now you have Tennessee undefeated in the SEC, and you have Michigan State undefeated in Big Ten play, and then you also have Villanova, who, despite their slow starts and their upset to Furman, is undefeated in Big East. So do you think any of those guys are losing soon? And who do you think might be the team that is the remaining undefeated team in conference out of those?
I think that Nova is probably going to be the team that loses soonest. They seem like they have a pretty rough schedule coming up with in the Big East. But I would also say that Michigan State probably may. I think they may have actually the easier of the two between them and Tennessee. They still Michigan State's got to play Michigan twice, Purdue and Iowa. Tennessee, they've still got to play Kentucky. They've got to play at Kentucky, at Auburn. And I could see them losing to one of either Ole Miss, Mississippi State, or potentially LSU.
Yeah. I think Michigan State, they have two road games this week at Iowa, at Purdue. Definitely better than both those teams, but both are pretty decent. So you could definitely see the home upset there. Tennessee, I think they have definitely, at Vanderbilt, and then they have three road games, but all easily winnable. Although I could see them dropping maybe at South Carolina on Tuesday night, but it's really the back end of their SEC schedule where it gets tough, of at Kentucky, at LSU, Kentucky again, Mississippi State, Auburn. So definitely won't be a cakewalk as they head into March, but I guess there's one team we left out. LSU is still undefeated. Once again, they have a talented group of younger players and Sean Mahoop's favorite in Tremont Waters, but we'll leave them out of that discussion since they do have losses to Florida State and Oklahoma State on their schedule. But this weekend kind of marks, which is always a weird time of the year in late January to do the SEC Big 12 showdown. So definitely want to talk about the Kansas-Kentucky game that'll be coming up. But I just wanted to kind of throw out a few teams to you and get your thoughts on them and tell me if you are buying them or selling them going forward. So the first team I want to ask you about is Iowa State, who basically played Kansas as tight as you can in Lawrence, and Kansas always seems a way to hit big shots down the stretch at home in conference play. But what are your thoughts on Iowa State, and are you buying or selling them going forward?
I'm buying them. They are, I think, with the transfer from UVA's Mariel Shayok has really elevated them to a next level team. I mean, for them to beat Kansas and then, go in Allen Fieldhouse and have a close game with them shows me that they're right there and they're going to be challenging. They're also without Lindell Wigginton, who hasn't played, he's only played 9 games this season. So when he comes back, I think that Iowa State's going to be for real. And I think they can make some noise not just in the Big 12, but also in the tournament as well. I like the way they play. Steve Prohm is, a former Murray State guy, is really making his presence felt at Iowa State. So I'm in on them. I'm buying Iowa State.
All right. I'm buying as well. Definitely usually always enjoy Iowa State, and they're a fun team to watch. And, Talon Horton Tucker is another guy, Chicago guy that has been playing well. And it's kind of an interesting guy to watch on the court, just given He's 6'4", 230 pounds with, you know, I forget his wingspan, but he looks like a monster. You know, and the size of his hands is pretty ridiculous. So he's an interesting guy, a freshman to watch. And then Shayok, as you mentioned, I'm sure is, UVA is a top five team in the country. I'm sure he is enjoying the freedom he has on offense to push the ball and take about 30% of Iowa State shots. So he's definitely a candidate for all Big 12 and playing well. And I think they're probably the second best team in the conference. So I guess, you know, another team I'll ask you about, and I'm only doing this because of the game today, but Texas Tech, what are your thoughts on them after unfortunately taking them +2?
Yeah, I've got some mixed emotions on Texas Tech after that game, since they got beat by Kansas State, and that's a Kansas State team without Will Wade, right? Correct? Or I'm sorry, Dean Wade. And I actually would say that I'm probably still going to buy into Texas Tech. You know, they've got great coaching. They're it's a blip on the radar for me in regards to them. It's unbelievable that their coach is still Chris Beard, I believe. So, but you know, they've lost a couple games in a row, but I still think that they're going to pull it out and be just fine. They got games against Arkansas, which I think they can take care of. TCU, you know, their schedule's down the road stretch here is not too terrible, but I think they'll be all right.
All right. Well, I'm selling Texas Tech 45 points against Kansas State. I got to sell that. Their offense has been pretty tepid all year. Jarrett Culvert, one of the top players in the country. But besides that, you know, they're known for their defense and coaching. But I'm definitely selling Texas Tech. So I'll let you go and throw out a team or two.
Sure. All right. Well, I would say, what do you think about Villanova? Are you buying or selling?
Ooh. I'm gonna buy Villanova. I know that's easy to say at 6-0 in the conference, but I think, you know, for them, they have four losses, two pretty acceptable losses, Michigan, even though it was at home, and a blowout, and then a really close game at Kansas, and that's really their last loss, December 15th. Now they have a loss to Penn, and then the loss nobody expected to Furman, who has actually turned out to be pretty good with another Chicago guy, Matt Rafferty, holding down the front court. But I'm going to buy them. And you know, I think, you know, I've seen at UNC and other schools that are not Duke or Kentucky and Kansas, but when you lose that much in 1 year, it's going to take some time, you know, really to get that back. You know, I think they assume they're losing Jalen Brunson, but I don't think they saw Dante DiVincenzo going or really Omari Spellman. So that's kind of two players that they probably had penciled in as starters. So of course it's going to take some time to get things rolling. You know, Eric Pascal has been playing well, Phil Booth, would still like to see Javon Quinterly, five-star point guard. He hasn't really done much of anything the past two games. So not really sure what his role will be going forward, but to have a five-star point guard that's, you know, sitting on the bench is always nice. You know, I think there's a lot of hype around Joe Cremo, the transfer from Albany. And I think he's one of those quote unquote up transfers that, you know, probably should have stayed at their school where they could have averaged 20 plus a game and probably gotten a good overseas offer, right off the bat. But I'm going to buy them. I think Phil Booth and Pascal are two studs that can carry them. And, you know, the Big East is definitely not as strong as it was. You know, I don't really see them losing until maybe February. They play at Marquette and then later at Georgetown and St. John's. But that's a long-winded answer of saying, yes, I'm buying Villanova.
Yeah, I would. I'm buying Villanova. I have some similar sentiments as you. I think it just takes time to kind of get that chemistry for the team and figuring it out if you lose so much talent. Also, I don't really know what to think about the Quinterly situation. I mean, he had his incident earlier in the year where he, Billy put on his social media that he was there, that where he was, where he said that there was a reason why Villanova was his second choice. So he's certainly had some maturity issues, and that's not something that I think that Jay Wright or just a program like Villanova tolerates. So I'm buying him because I think Jay Wright pretty much just isolates Quinterly and then lets the rest of the team play as a unit. And some same thoughts on Cremo. They got to get more out of him and get something, and maybe something out of Quinterly, because right now they really only go seven deep. And they're putting a lot of the onus on Pascal and Booth. And then, you know, they're getting pretty good production out of, you know, Sadiq Bey, who was, I think, a late add-on to that team. So I'm buying them, but I'm cautiously buying them.
All right. Well, give me, let's go one more, your choice.
How about Kansas?
All right. That's a tough one. I guess I'm selling them based on their preseason ranking. I think a lot of people thought they were championship contenders, which they still could be, but obviously losing Udoka Azubuki is a big blow. And, you know, you have the Lawson brothers, and Diedrich has been incredible, hit a big shot against Iowa State. And then the Gerald Vick and Marcus Garrett. So, you know, two athletic wings to go with the freshmen, Devon Dotson and Quentin Grimes. But, you know, I'm going to sell them. I mean, they'll probably win the Big 12 regular season again and be a one or two seed. But overall, I'm not a huge fan of them. Obviously talented, but I'm going to sell them going forward, more for when the tournament comes around, rather than this being the year that they don't win the Big 12 regular season. What about yourself?
I think I'm buying Kansas, but I agree with you on, you know, it's, I guess, based off the preseason hype, yeah, they're not necessarily living up to it, but I'm buying them for the rest of the season. I think that they're, you know, I think Gerald Vick has been kind of has been pretty good for them, very strong for them. Diedrich Lawson, I think, has been every bit as good as advertised for Kansas. You know, and I think this Iowa State game was a really big game for them, because if you think about their team, they have a fair amount of new parts on that team, so they are gelling a little bit. Obviously, the loss to West Virginia was shocking, but I'm gonna buy them for the rest of the season. I think they'll be very, very strong. I do find it interesting that they are trying to get D'Souza back onto the team. Yep. I don't know how that's gonna work. But
if Bill Self's involved, anything can happen.
Right. Yeah. I just can't see it happen, but you never know with Kansas. If D'Souza did come back, I think it would help. But I'm gonna buy them. You know, it's I think a lot we'll see a lot this weekend when they play Kentucky against a team that's pretty physical with Reed Travis and others. So we'll see how they look. But I'm gonna go ahead and buy them.
All right. Well, speaking of Kansas, Kentucky, that's a big headliner on Saturday. So what are your expectations for this one?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good game, because I'd like to see the Keldon Johnson and the physicality of Kentucky kind of go against Diedrich Lawson and Kansas. I'm excited to see that. Excited to see a little bit of Tyler Harrow action, because he's a guy that I didn't think was a good fit for UK. I thought he was a perfect fit for Wisconsin when he originally signed with them. And he's been playing pretty well for the Cats. I'm not in love with UK, but I feel like this is going to be a big challenge for for Kansas. So I'm looking forward to seeing a physical affair between the two teams. I think PJ Washington's kind of coming into his own for the Cats too. So it'll be a fun one. I just, you know, this is one of those games where it's so interesting to see in the middle of the season with the Big 12 and the SEC playing each other and right in the middle of conference play.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting conference play, but should be a fun one. I know in the past they usually have been. And, you know, I think once again, Kentucky's been, after that Alabama loss, which was their first SEC game, they've rattled off 5 wins in a row, 3 at home, 2 on the road. You know, I still think you talked about Reed Travis, who as a, you know, really a grad transfer has been kind of a beast in the middle, and PJ Washington. You have EJ Montgomery, top 10 recruit coming off the bench, that's still trying to, you know, similar to Naz Little, kind of find his way. But to me, I the point guard play is still concerning. I thought Ashton Higgins had kind of turned a corner really a few games ago when he had 23 points against Georgia, shot 8 for 15, even hit a 3-pointer. And that was after 5 double-digit games in a row. And then Auburn, 6 points. Mississippi State, 5 points. Granted, he did have 9 assists against Mississippi State, so there's that. But I think they really need to figure that out between him and Quickley to kind of have a sustained run. But I think after their, you know, Seton Hall loss and then Bama, that they're kind of flying under the radar and definitely have a pretty manageable SEC until really early to mid-February, where they have LSU and Tennessee both at home. And then they get Tennessee on the road later in the year. But definitely, just like the Duke UVA game last Saturday, I think the game to watch, and we'll be looking forward to seeing it. So anything else from your end?
Not really. I'm just looking forward to seeing how the season's going to turn out for the down the stretch. You know, there's just a lot of, I think the ACC race will be pretty interesting to see who's going to come up behind, who's going to come up from to challenge Duke and UVA. I think that second tier is very interesting to see, because I think it's a little crowded. There's some teams that have kind of came, I think some surprising teams like a Louisville that's come up, and there's some teams like, you know, Florida State that's kind of fallen off a bit. So, and then you've got some teams like Pitt that can on any given night can give some trouble to specific teams. So looking forward to it, and it's been a pretty fun season so far.
Yeah, well, you gotta get yourself out some Georgetown games, even though they can't win anything in the last minute. Maybe watch some Patriot League action over at American, or some A-10, even some MEAC with Morgan State down the road.
Yeah, I've still yet to witness the Mac McClung show in person.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure having you on, and looking forward to having you on in the future. I know right now you got some time on your hands, so looking forward to chatting again soon, and hopefully Louisville will be sustaining their success next time we chat.
All right. Yep, I hope so too. So thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Love being a guest on the pod.
No problem. Anytime. All right, that wraps up another episode of the Sean Moe Hoops Pod, and we're finally back on a weekly basis. So looking forward to seeing what transpires this week in the college hoops world, and we'll be back in a few days.